This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and friends. My name is Hamza Andreas Zordis, and I'm going to be speaking to you today about courage. Why we need it, and 9 ways on how to develop it. Now, courage is a human trait. Yes, women could be courageous, and men could be courageous too. However, in Islamic masculinity, it is also a specific masculine trait. And this is more related to the brothers rather than the sisters, although the sisters can definitely benefit because they need to be courageous in their own way, in the particular context, and they need to be able to recognize Muslim men who have this trait of masculinity, which we are now calling and we know as courage. The first thing I want to speak about as a kind of theological, spiritual and conceptual backdrop is to ask you a particular question. When we want to understand Islamic masculinity, where do we go? Well, we go to what the righteous scholars have said and what the pious predecessors have said about masculinity or manliness. And it's very important to note that our scholars basically said that masculinity is about one's character and religion. And this is important conceptually because it's going to help us raise a question with regards to, well, whose character do we follow? So, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad said, whoever has bad character has dishonored his religion, his reputation, and his manhood. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh said, the foundation of a man is his intellect, his honor is in his religion, and his manhood is in his character. Hassan al-Basri said, what is manhood? Or rather, he was asked, what is manhood? Hassan said, it is the religion. So, based on these statements, and there are many other statements that are very similar, then we should ask the question, then whose character must we follow? Well, what does the Quran say? Allah says in the Quran in chapter 68, verse 4, and you, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are a man of outstanding character. Also, the Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 21, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah often. This is extremely important to understand. So, masculinity is about one's religion and character. Then we say, well, whose character must we follow? We must follow the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what's very interesting, masculinity and courage and all of these masculine virtues and traits are not just about strength and character with regards to having muscles and being strong, although that is very important too. It's also the internal elements. And I'm going to give you 2 prophetic traditions that don't contradict each other, but they talk about 2 different domains of strength and character. For example, in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but there is goodness in both of them. Now, this doesn't primarily mean only strength and muscles and that kind of strength, although it does mean that. It also means internal strength too. We have another hadith, a prophetic tradition that is authentic in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, narrated by the same narrator, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the strongest are not the best wrestlers. Verily, indeed, the strongest are those who control themselves when angry. So this is very important. Don't think masculinity is about looking the part. Because we know when you compare the likes of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with regards to their stature and their physicality, we know that Umar was bigger and maybe, you know, obviously taller and so on and so forth and had the so-called, inverted commas, masculine traits. But who was more courageous? Actually, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu an that was more courageous, and he was actually a better man overall. Ijma'ah, consensus of the scholars on this issue. So the reason I'm mentioning these two ahadith to complement this very important understanding is that it's not just about the way you look. There's a very shallow, materialistic and secular perspective. Although strength is important and keeping fit is important, of course, but we have to be holistic. So before we continue about courage and define it and talk about the nine ways on how to develop it, let's now focus on the best person to have walked this planet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to courage, because it does set that theological and conceptual backdrop. So let's talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and courage. So, as narrated by Ahmed, Ali said, radiallahu an, if the fighting became fierce when the two nations met, we used to seek protection from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none of us were nearer to the enemy than he was, which indicates the bravery and the courage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another Sahabi, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is narrated in Muslim, by Allah, when the battle became fierce, we used to seek protection from the one who was the brave one among us, and who used to be next to the enemy. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to his character, was one of the beautiful, the most generous, and the bravest of people. Once the people of Medina were frightened after hearing an uproar, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mounted the unsaddled horse of Abu Talha to see what the noise was. Next, he returned and said, there is nothing to be afraid of. And we found it, this horse, had become like a torrent of water, indicating its swift-footedness. This is narrated by Ahmed. And we have the famous hadith in Bukhari, the dua, the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, O Allah, I seek refuge from you from being cowardly or miserly. And there are many other stories, but I want to read from you a section from The Sealed Nectar, which is a very good book to read in English about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is referring to the Battle of Hunain. And I'm reading. At early dawn, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started mobilizing his army and distributing posts and flags to people. In the dark and just before dawn, the Muslims moved towards Hunain Valley. They started descending into it unaware of the presence of an enemy lurking from them inside the valley. So at the moment they were camping, arrows began showering intensively at them, whereas the enemy's battalion started a fierce attack against the Muslims, who had to retreat in disorder and utter confusion. It was such a shattering defeat that Abu Sufyan bin Harb, who had recently embraced Islam, said that the retreat would not stop till they got to the Red Sea. And it continues. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to the right and said, come on people, I am the Messenger of Allah. I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Those who stood fast by him were only a few immigrants and some of his kinsmen. The matchless bravery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then brought to light. He went on and on in his attempts to make his mule stand fast in the face of the disbelievers while saying loudly, truly, I am the Prophet, I am the grandson of Abdullah Muttalib. So this is another example of the courage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this leads us nicely to discuss, well, what is courage? Now, in the classical dictionary such as Lisan al-Arab, you have the following definition. Courage refers to steadfastness in the heart at the time of danger. So courage is in the qalb, in the heart. Also, you have the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him. He said, many people may confuse courage with physical strength, but they are two different things. Courage is steadfastness in the heart when faced with calamity, even if one is physically weak. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, was the most courageous of this ummah after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although Umar and others were physically stronger than him, something that I said just a few moments ago. You have the scholar Ibn Hazm, may Allah have mercy on him. He said, the definition of courage is being willing to offer one's life to defend one's faith and womenfolk, and to defend a neighbor who has been wronged, and to defend an oppressed person who has sought your protection, and to defend someone who has been wronged with regard to his wealth and honor, or who has been wronged in any other way, whether the wrongdoers are small or great in number. Falling short, what we have mentioned is cowardice and weakness. Exposing one's life to danger for the sake of worldly gains is recklessness and foolishness. So courage is being able to defend people for the right causes. And falling short in this is weakness and it is cowardice. And also trying to be brave or risking one's life for worldly gain is actually recklessness and foolishness. So it has to have a moral framework. Sheikh Dawood Waleed, who actually wrote an excellent book on Islamic masculinity, he said, a linguistic definition of courage is that it is possessed by a real man in his heart, displayed in his ease in going to battle and in his daring and fearless behavior. Now the famous 11th century theologian and scholar known as the Proof of Islam, Al-Ghazali, he stated that courage is a characteristic positioned between being reckless and cowardly. So there's a balance here. There's a balance with regards to this virtue, if you like. Because he continues to say that courage is not being foolhardy, like those who do not weigh the consequences of their actions, nor make proper preparations when entering into situations with potential danger. Rather, courage means not being scared of any confrontation that has a righteous aim, although it may place him in front of potential harm, physically, mentally, or reputationally. And this is very important, because sometimes when we think about courage, we think it's about fighting or physical bravery. No, because look what Al-Ghazali is saying here. Don't be foolhardy. And previous scholars like Ibn Hazm and others said, don't do it just for dunya, for worldly gain. It has to have a righteous aim, an Allah-centric, an Akhirah-centric, noble goal, noble aim. And you should not be scared to achieve this aim, even if it puts you into potential harm physically, mentally, or reputationally. So this means it's not only about physical stuff. It's intellectual bravery. It's intellectual courage. It's moral courage. And this is very important, because people think that they could be very brave physically, but some of them are the greatest moral cowards, or they have intellectual cowardice. So this reminds me of a statement of the late Dr. Shabir Akhtar, may Allah have mercy on him, when I had dinner with him in Oxford. He said, Hamza, what's the point of being an intellectual if you're going to be a coward? So that's the definition of courage from an Islamic perspective and a linguistic perspective. Now there's some things to know. The first thing to know is, don't think that courage is the absence of fear. That's not true. Courage is acting although you may still have fear. And everyone has fear. Also, do not confuse, and we've said this before, but let's repeat it again. Do not confuse an aggressive or loud temperament with courage. It's interesting to note that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, do not let yourself be impressed by the roar of a man. Rather, if he fulfills the trust and restrains himself from harming the honor of people, then he will truly be a man. So there's an element of moral courage here. Don't be kind of deluded by the idea that just because someone looks big and strong that they're courageous, or that they're loud and aggressive, they're courageous. Sometimes these people just project. They're the weakest people, physically, intellectually, and morally. That's why courage is here. So before we talk about the 9 ways on how to develop courage, let's talk about why it is needed, why it is necessary. So there's a few reasons. Reason number one, it allows you to protect yourself and your family, including your women folk. Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 34, men are the caretakers of women, as men have been provisioned by Allah over women and tasked them with supporting them financially. We have this idea of qawwam, that we have to take care of our family and our women folk. And one of the necessary aspects of that is protecting them at all times. A Muslim man must and should die to protect his family, his women folk, his wife. And he should die to protect her honor. Without question. Without question. Reason number two, it helps you speak the truth. So we have intellectual courage. Allah says in the Quran, in the second chapter, the 42nd verse, do not mix truth with falsehood, nor hide the truth knowingly. Reason number three, it allows you to command the good, to command the ma'aruf, and to forbid the munkar, to forbid the evil. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 104, let there be a group among you who call others to goodness, encourage what is right, and forbid what is evil. It is they who will be the successful. Reason number four, it allows you to do da'wah, to make Allah's word the highest, to share Islam, to defend and share Islam at any level. Allah says in the 16th chapter, in the 125th verse, invite all to the way of your Lord with hikmah, wisdom and kind advice, and debate with them in ways that are best. Fifth reason, it allows you to engage in legitimate struggle, legitimate jihad. Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 75, and what is with you? You do not fight in the cause of Allah and for oppressed men, women, and children who cry out, our Lord, deliver us from this land of oppressors. Appoint for us a savior. Appoint for us a helper, all by your grace. The next reason why courage is important is self-accountability, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. This is so key. And this makes us understand that it's not just about physical courage or intellectual courage, but moral courage. We have to hold ourselves to account. A true man accepts being held to account, especially in positions of leadership. And self-accountability is so important. It's actually extremely important for one's development. We need to hold ourselves to account individually, personally, and we need to allow others to hold us to account. Because we want to have true self-love, which is what? Wanting goodness for ourselves. We want to be optimal physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And the only way to do that is to have the moral courage to hold yourself to account and to allow others to hold you to account. Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 59, verse 18, you who believe, be mindful of Allah and let every soul consider carefully what it sends ahead for tomorrow. Be mindful of Allah, for Allah is well aware of everything you do. The final reason, brothers and sisters and friends, it's important for civilizational success. This is so important. In order for the Islamic civilization to be superior, in order for us to be successful, in order for us to be that beacon of light again for the whole world, to show the peace, justice, harmony and mercy of Islam, we have to have people of sacrifice and courage. The famous hadith in Abu Dawood, which is oft repeated, is as follows. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, soon the nations will be summoned to you just like one is invited to a feast. It was said, will we be few that day? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, rather you will be many in that day, but you will be scum like such flowing down a torrent. Allah will remove your esteem from the chest of your enemies, and Allah would insert feebleness in your own hearts. Wahan. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, what is feebleness? What is wahan? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for the worldly life, hubba dunya, the love for the dunya, the worldly life, and hatred of death. Courage is the antidote to the love of the ephemeral nature of the world and to the hatred of death. and is connected with our civilizational success, as indicated in this hadith. So important to have men of courage. So how do we develop it now? Here are 9 ways on how to develop courage, brothers and sisters and friends. Before I articulate each point, there's something very important to understand. Do not focus on what you need to do. Do not focus on the action. Focus on who you need to become. You need to transform your way of being, because states of being give rise to action. Once you become, you overcome. Let me repeat. Once you become, you overcome. And to be is to be related. How you relate to yourself, how you relate to others, and how you relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's so important that we transform our state of being. Because really our state of being is not just about a relation with things and yourself and others and Allah, but it's also what's in your heart, how you frame things linguistically, the way you speak, and your actions, right? Which is very interesting, because way of being is connected to iman here. What's in your heart, what's on your tongue, and your actions. So focus on changing your state of being. If you could change your language, you could change your emotions and change your behavior, that helps you change your being. And once you change your being, these necessary actions will follow. So, point number one. Focus on strengthening your heart, your spiritual heart, your qalb, through acts of worship. As the scholars say, as we mentioned, courage is in the heart, is in the qalb. Courage is not in the liver, it's not in the brain. So if courage is in the qalb, you need to focus on the qalb. Make sure you pray 5 times a day. Make sure you do your sunnah. Make sure you wake up for tahajjud, the night prayer. Make sure you recite the Quran. Make sure you do tadabbur of the Quran. Make sure you do your dhikr, your remembrance in the morning and the evening. Your du'as in the morning and the evening. Make sure you do istighfar. You ask Allah for forgiveness. You do tawbah. You return back to Allah. You do good deeds. All of these things and many other things, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the Prophet, upon whom be peace, you do this, this will strengthen the spiritual heart. When you strengthen the spiritual heart, you're more likely to have these amazing virtues, like the masculine virtue, the necessary masculine virtue, Islamic masculine virtue of courage. Do not underestimate this point. If you have a weak spiritual heart, you're not going to be courageous in the right way. Remember, courage is being courageous for a righteous goal. Second point to understand. Reflect on what the worst case scenario is. What is the worst that can happen? If you're courageous for a righteous goal, you did this sincerely, and the worst thing that can happen is that you die. So what? So what? If you died for a righteous goal, you were courageous for a righteous goal, where do you go? You go to Ar-Rahman, Allah, the lovingly merciful. You go to Al-Wudud, the most loving. And we know various hadith and narrations that talk about those people who struggled and were courageous. What happens to them? For example, in the hadith in Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is killed protecting his property is a martyr. Whoever is killed protecting his religion is a martyr. Whoever is killed protecting his life is a martyr. Whoever is killed protecting his family is a martyr. What is a martyr? You go straight to paradise. What is paradise? According to the other authentic hadith that is well known, paradise is a place that if someone had the most miserable life, they suffered the most in the dunya, in the world, and they were destined for paradise, and they'll be dipped in paradise for a split moment, and they will be asked, did you ever suffer? He would say, wallahi, I have never suffered. So it's all good. And also, reflect on the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. Whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. The point is, what's the worst that can happen? You die. Okay, and you die for a righteous goal. And where do you go? You go to the loving, the most merciful, eternal peace. And we must have husn adhan billah, have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know based on the hadith Qudsi that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says, I am as my servant thinks I am. In the Arabic it also means, I am as my servant expects me to be. And if you have Allah, a great expectation for Allah, you'll find Him better than any of your expectations. Third point, dear brothers and sisters, understand that many times not being courageous can be more painful than courage itself. Think about the outcome here. Think about what's going on. If I don't act for this righteous aim, from a dunya and akhirah perspective, what is more painful? It's actually not acting. Doing the courageous thing in the grand cosmic scheme of things, from a dunya and akhirah perspective, is far less painful. So if you understand that and you frame it this way, then it will encourage you to be courageous. Point number four, understand the bigger picture. Why are you doing this in the first place? Do you have an Allah-centric and akhirah-centric vision? As a man, you should be on a mission. A man on a mission. You should have a goal, a long-term stretch goal, a vision for your life that is Allah-centric, pleasing to Allah, and it's akhirah-centric, meaning that it's going to take you to paradise, to Jannah. And have a lofty vision. Like, for example, my vision is, I see a world convinced of Islam. And that's going to actually change the way I see myself and who I need to become and the things that I need to do. I see the world in a particular way, therefore I need to be someone in line with that, and I need to do things on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly and lifetime perspective that are linked to that strategy, to that vision. It's so important. So I see the world in a particular way, therefore I need to be someone that's aligned with that, and I need to do things on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly and lifetime perspective that are linked to who I need to be to see the world in that way. Have an Allah-centric, akhirah-centric vision. So if you have an Allah-centric, akhirah-centric vision, it actually allows you to have a macro understanding of your own life, seeing the bigger picture. And that will facilitate courage, facilitate intellectual, moral and physical courage, because at the end of the day, we want to meet Allah with the best of our deeds. We want to meet Allah in the best state. We want to meet Allah by doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. And that might mean being courageous. And having a Allah-centric, akhirah-centric vision facilitates that because you have Allah in mind. You ask yourself the following question: what is most pleasing to Allah in this specific context? And it could be the case that courage would be the most pleasing. And if you have an Allah-centric, akhirah-centric vision and mission for your life, then you're able to be courageous in that particular context. This is very important. Point number five, be around courageous people, or at least read about them. Courage gives rise to courage. States of being give rise to states of being. Love gives rise to love. Hope gives rise to hope. Passion gives birth to passion. Certainty gives birth to certainty. Courage gives birth to courage. Be around courageous people. If you're around four courageous people, you're likely to be the fifth. This is the way social psychology works. This is the way social conformity works. And we know this from the Quran and Sunnah perspective. Make sure you're around courageous people. Not just strong people, but intellectually courageous, morally courageous, and also physically courageous people. Point number six. Accept what happens if you fail. It's all good anyway. Even if you tried to be courageous, and you tried your best, and you were courageous, and you didn't achieve that righteous aim or that righteous goal, don't worry. If you had ikhlas, sincerity, and you tried your best, it's all good anyway. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Amazing is the situation of the believer. When something good happens to him, he is thankful and that's good for him. If something of harm befalls him, he is patient and that is good for him too. Point number seven, develop your sympathetic nervous system. What does this mean? This means we have to develop our neurochemistry, our neurobiology, our nervous system that when we have the fight or flight response situations, that we actually respond with fight. How do you do that? Get involved in martial arts, get involved in boxing, do some sparring, get involved in some intense physical activity, learn how to fight, learn how to protect yourself, get involved in these martial arts. It is necessary for your personal development. It increases your humility, it will increase your courage, it would excite your sympathetic nervous system so you don't fly away, you don't flight, you actually fight when needed if it's in line with a righteous aim. This is so important and so significant. It's really important to develop your neurochemistry from that perspective. Number eight, dear brothers, sisters and friends, read about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and the great warriors of Islam. In essence, the history of Islam. When you read these stories, it's like being around these people and it creates that state of being of courage. Read, reflect, ponder and internalize these stories and be inspired by them. Final point, point number nine, make dua. Nothing can happen unless it's in line with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens because of Allah. Allah is as-samad, they're absolutely independent. We are utterly dependent on Allah. In every situation and every moment of our existence. So even if you have to implement these 8 points that we mentioned, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be courageous unless Allah wills it. So point number nine is so important. Make dua. Dua is the essence of worship. It's the bone marrow of worship. It is the brain of worship. It is the ultimate expression of your subjugation and love for Allah and your utter dependence on Him, which is an utter reality. So make dua to Allah for you to become courageous. Beg Allah. And what's interesting from a scientific note point of view, we have this almond shape structure in the brain. It's called the amygdala. And without it, we would not feel fear. And what's very interesting, research suggests that we can regulate our amygdala's response by consciously activating the, and I hope I pronounce this properly, subgenual or subgenual anterior cingulate cortex, which is a structure in the brain that involves higher level functioning such as decision making and attentional allocation. Now, intentional activation could help regulate fear, thereby facilitating courage. And the points that we mentioned may do that because you're intentional. You're trying to intentionally activate this aspect of the brain to help regulate fear, which will therefore facilitate courage. So be intentional from that perspective, and implementing the points that I've just mentioned, at least some of them could actually facilitate that from a scientific perspective. Now, I'm not an expert, but that's an interesting scientific note. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, you know, let's all make dua that Allah makes us courageous. You know, the hadith in Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "O Allah, I seek refuge in you from cowardice. I seek refuge in you from returning to the feebleness of old age. I seek refuge in you from the trials of this world. And I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave." In conclusion, I pray, my dear brothers, sisters and friends, that the points I've raised with you would help you, especially for our brothers. Now please, do not use these points to point fingers at sincere brothers who may be lacking in some way. Everyone's on a journey. Remember, true Islamic masculinity is that a man elevates other men. Men elevate other men. This is the prophetic way. So we need to help and elevate each other. We are all on different levels with regard to our Islamic masculinity and our level of courage. So therefore, please build each other. Be true brothers to each other. And that takes courage too. I pray to Allah that He makes us all courageous, so we can have civilizational success, that we can have intellectual courage, moral courage, and physical courage. If you really liked this presentation and you thought it was useful, please share it with everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.